Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. Well, it's been a week. We all know what someone means when they say that, right? It roughly translates as, so much has happened this past week, I can't even wrap my own head around it, let alone explain it to anyone else. I imagine that's how Jesus' disciples felt the day after the resurrection, locked in the upper room, afraid of what comes next. I imagine them thinking, wasn't it only a week ago we arrived in Jerusalem with crowds singing Hosanna to our Lord? And then they try to make sense of Jesus' betrayal, torture, and death just a few days later. And then the crazy tale the women told yesterday of Jesus rising from the dead. It's hard to believe. It's been a week, indeed. We've lived that week too, here at Good Samaritan. We process through the sanctuary with palms, recalling Jesus' glorious arrival in Jerusalem. We shared an agape meal and bathed each other's feet, remembering Jesus' Last Supper with his friends. We walked the way of sorrow along these beautiful mosaics on Good Friday. And then we stripped the altar bare because it seemed like all light had left the world. The very next night, we celebrated with Easter Vigil. Not so fast for the original disciples. It's still the same week for them. No glorious alleluias, candles, champagne, chocolate, or Easter eggs for them. It's still the same week. They thought the story ended with the crucifixion, an event so traumatic they're afraid to go out. Heartbroken and alone, afraid to be seen. Well, that's true of most of the disciples. One of the 11 wasn't in hiding, and we all know who that is, don't we? Even if we hadn't read this gospel passage today, we'd all know this disciple. I think even if we'd never heard this gospel passage, we probably would know who this disciple is. Because it's Doubting Thomas, the standard bearer for seeing is believing. He only accepts as truth those things he can reach out and touch. The patron saint of cynics. Well, that's one way to look at Thomas the Apostle, and that's the well-known story. As stories go, though, I have some issues with it. For starters, why is Thomas singled out? We heard in this very same gospel today that Jesus showed his hands and side to all the disciples when he appeared. Only after that do they rejoice. They seem to need evidence too. And remember how they all reacted when they first heard of Jesus' resurrection? Luke tells us they dismissed the women's news as an idle tale, and they did not believe. Only Peter even bothers to check. He runs to the tomb and sees Jesus' burial cloths unwrapped and empty. And then he wonders to himself what might have happened. Why don't we refer to Peter as Doubting Peter? Why don't we acknowledge that every disciple had doubts? Why don't we acknowledge that Thomas was more than a doubter? After all, he's already appeared twice in John's gospel. Thomas first appears when Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is dying. Jesus decides to go see Lazarus, even though his disciples try to dissuade him. The disciples remind Jesus that the authorities want him killed. We can assume some of their reluctance is concern for their own safety. They're afraid, just like in today's gospel. Why don't we call them all the fearful disciples? I don't know. Maybe it's because we're told at least one of them is brave, and it's Thomas, who pleads with the others, "Let us also go with Jesus, that we may die with him." Thomas is brave enough to follow Jesus even unto death. What a brave and loyal friend he is. Why don't we hear so much about this Thomas the Apostle? Who's to say? That's just how it works with stories. Some details are included, others are left out. Some characters capture our attention, others are less compelling. I see some of that in this story about doubting Thomas. It's not so much that I think he gets a bad rap, although I do think that. It's about the essence of this story, which is the resurrection. We only have four original versions of this story in our four Gospels, and the details are not the same. In John's Gospel, only Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb early that morning. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, she's with other women. In Matthew, there's a violent earthquake as Mary and others, including the guards, tremble with fear to see an angel roll back the stone from the grave. In Matthew, one angel appears. In Mark, it's a young man dressed in white. In Luke, two men in dazzling white stand outside the tomb. In John, there are two angels in white sitting inside the tomb. You get the idea. The details may differ, but the story is the same. The one consistent element in each of these gospel stories and in every Easter story told since then is the resurrection. After the crucifixion comes the resurrection. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross. And just a few days later, Christ the King rose from that darkness. I said a few minutes ago that we as a community also lived this story these past days. Our details are a little different, but the story is still the same. On Good Friday, in the darkness, we mourned to see Jesus defeated and abandoned. Then, at the Easter vigil and morning services, we rejoiced to see Christ risen from the dead. No matter the temporal details, or where or when it's told, the eternal story stays the same. The resurrection. After the crucifixion, always the resurrection. It's an important story to remember because we walk it all the time. Pain and suffering are part of every human story, as are blessings and joy. And it's a blessing and a joy for me to have been part of Good Samaritan's story. During the time I've been privileged to be with you, I've shared some of your joy and pain. I served at the funerals of three of your parish family, two of whom I also grieve personally. Of course, I couldn't have grieved Jim McCulley if I hadn't had the great joy of serving Issaquah meals with him and Nancy last summer. It's been a great joy to be even a small part of your extraordinary sponsorship of the Baba Carkill family. You've held this family up in so many ways. Hospitality, housing, meals, transportation, medical, employment, education. And just a few days ago, Mother Carissa was with the family to welcome their newborn son. A new life. What incredible joy for their family and this parish. But I can't forget it's experienced here because of the catastrophe in their former home. Tragedy in Afghanistan, joy in Seattle. After the crucifixion, always the resurrection. If I'm honest, I have to admit that the joy I've experienced here has some root in the difficulty I had leaving my home parish. In our diocese, in order to explore a call to ordination, it's required that a person leave the very community that raised you up to hear the call. I expect we all know how attached we get to our parish. It was difficult for me to leave mine, but if I hadn't, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have met the homeless you serve at Issaquah Meals. I wouldn't have met the Baba Carkill family or seen how you've supported them. I'd have missed out on the McCauleys. I'd never have shared an agape meal. I might never have seen the glory of God that shines forth in your reredos and the mosaics and all the beauty in this building. I would have missed all the times I've been moved to tears hearing God's majesty in your magnificent music program. I would have missed so much hospitality and being part of so much good work. I would have missed out on getting to know you. Yes, it was hard to leave my home parish, but then I got to come here. After the crucifixion, always the resurrection. None of us can escape difficult times, trials, and transitions. So here I am, leaving another parish I've come to love, and literally, God only knows where I'll go next. As a parish, you are in a time of transition from a beloved rector. And literally, God only knows who will lead you next. We've traveled together for several months, and now we stand at junctions. We can face them with fear or with faith. We may or may not see something right at this moment to help us believe. I'm blessed to have seen into the life of this parish. It helps me believe. Strengthened by you and by today's scriptures, I can move forward in faith. I can let go of the chip on my shoulder about how Thomas the Apostle gets a bad rap. I can let go of a few things about discernment that are hard for me. Instead, I'll pick up what you've shown me and what we hear in today's gospel. I'll move forward in faith with the essential part of today's gospel. Blessed are all who come to believe. Let's all move forward in faith with this belief. It's the fundamental and eternal truth of the Christian story, the resurrection. After the crucifixion, always the resurrection. Amen.